Welcome to the Caregiver's Toolbox, tools for everyday caregiving. We provide education and information on senior care topics. Here's your host, Ryan McGinnip.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Caregiver's Toolbox, education and information for everyday caregivers. I just keep going, Tom. If I make a mistake, I don't care. So our guest today is Thomas Greeley of Northwest Mutual. He is a financial advisor, but he comes to all of the senior care networking events. And it's great to have him on because one of the things that we see every single day is that if you're going to plan for the future, you know, the best time to plant a tree is 20 years ago. The second best time is today. So he's the person you talk to when you start considering, hey, listen, I'm 45, I'm 50, I'm 55, I'm 60. I'm getting old and I got a plan for this. And this is what we need to do. Tom, thank you so much for joining the Caregivers Toolbox podcast.
Yeah, I'm honored. Thank you. It's always great to speak with you. Anyway, you asked me to do this. How could I say no? So,
from what other people have told me, like getting, you know, an honorary degree from Harvard and coming on the Caregivers Toolbox rank neck and neck for what's more prestigious. We're still trying to duke that out with Harvard, but they may have me by an eek, but we're getting up there. We're getting our word out. So again, thank you. Tell everybody what, in your words, what you do and how you help people when it comes to senior care and planning.
Yeah, thank you. Well, I've been with the Northwestern Mutual now for 40 years. I was actually a college intern at UMass Amherst and then graduated in 82, went full-time at that point. My father was with Northwestern Mutual for 64 years. He had 7,000 clients when he retired. And back when I started, long-term care wasn't even a thing yet. It was starting to percolate, but it was really life insurance and disability insurance, and that's what Northwestern was. They even discouraged me from discussing investments with my clients. I mean, imagine that. I mean, today, if you don't discuss investments, you're not a financial advisor. But back then, they wanted to be true blue to what they, you know, were successful at. But what happened over the last 40 years is things have changed. The biggest issue I have found, people are living so much longer. My father, I keep going back to him. He played hockey until he was 72, until he had a major, major heart attack, and he lost 90% of his heart. So he's, for the next 18 years, he lived on 10%. But he was on every kind of medication and drugs there were to keep him alive. But that shows you just what's happening in the medical world. And that's the problem. If you don't plan yesterday, you're going to get burned tomorrow. And so what I'm finding is my clients need to discuss investing. They need to discuss life insurance, disability, and the be all end all from a 62-year-old baby boomer, long-term care. Just for the fact that we are going to live longer, we just have to prepare for it. And I always say to make your financial plan bulletproof, you need all of the above, the investments, the insurance, and so on. And this isn't trying to sell you on anything except plan now. That's the key to this. Whether you go through me or some other fantastic financial advisor, hopefully we're all doing the same kind of thing, where we're talking about investments and talking about insurance.
Yeah, and I mean, and one of the things I just saw in the news is, I don't know if you ever watched that show Band of Brothers on HBO.
Oh, yeah.
But the last sole surviving member of Easy Company died recently at the age of 99. So, I mean, this guy probably smoked cigarettes, drank bread. Why wouldn't you if you were in World War II going into Normandy? You didn't think you were going to live very long. And, you know, this guy probably put all sorts of toxins into his body because every day could be your last over there. And he still made it to 99. So what is that going to mean for us? And additionally, in the healthcare system, at least right now, it is quantity over quality, right? So they don't care how they get you over the finish line. If you're holding on by 10% of your heart and it's good quality of life, that's great. But there are plenty of people out there that have poor quality of life that, you know, in theory, probably would be more humane to just say goodbye a little bit earlier. But we are living longer. And because of that, we are going to see many, many people who run out of money or no longer have the assets. And then, you know, is that going to be going into a nursing home, going into a family member's house? And you're now back to putting pressure and being, you know, involved in maybe your family that otherwise you would rather not have not been. Not that people don't love family, but when, you know, not, we live in a world where kids move out of the home and then they never move back in. There's not a cohesive 5,000 square foot house that holds three or four generations of family members or large swaths of the same family like some other cultures do.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, one telltale sign that I knew something was up with long-term care and the longevity problem was that life insurance used to go, whole life used to go to age 100. And then if you made it to 100, they would pay you the death claim while you're alive. And I thought, okay, well, now it's 121. And so you can see where this is going. Insurance companies know what's coming. And they even say, Time Magazine did an article saying that there's a baby born today that's going to make it to a buck 50. And I'm going, holy crap, if that's the case, what are we going to do? How do you plan for 150, you know?
Yeah, I mean, and hopefully that old adage of like, you know, the new 50 is 60 or whatever they say. Hopefully, like the new 60 is 90, because you're going to still need to be working because you're not even 2/3 through your life if you've made it to 100 years old. Hopefully, you've kept in shape and you're still able to do work every single day, because that's going to be a long time. But without a doubt, more and more people are making it into later in their 90s and 100s, and so. How do you recommend that people start? I mean, I think there's a part of the reason is it's so daunting, right? Like when you look at that whale and you think about, I need to have in some cases hundreds, if not other people want millions of dollars, hundreds of thousands, I meant to millions of dollars to retire on. That can seem like a huge hurdle to get over. I know that I was speaking with a relative of mine who had just started with AT&T and she was in her early 20s. And I whipped out she had a matching 401k and I whipped out like, you know, in a basic calculator online that said, if you just put in your matching for the next 25 years, you will be worth $1.5 million. Like, it's just as simple as that. But that changed her perspective, but it's such a monumental amount of money that it can seem like it's completely, it's like saying, hey, I've never climbed ever in my life and we're just going to go take a jaunt up Everest. It's that daunting to people.
Yeah. And what I do with my clientele is I keep it really simple. I do a fact find. So I'm asking fact questions. I'm asking feeling questions. I want to get to know these people, because the thing I want is that my clients trust me and that they want to work with me. And most importantly, when there's a concern, that they can call me, that they're not going to be sold something every time they call me. And so how do you eat an elephant? Well, one bite at a time, right? It's the same exact thing with financial planning. I can talk about investments and then life, disability, long-term care, blah, 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 all the other annuities. I can bore you. But you know what I would do? I'd find out what's most important now and then also talk about the future. And if you can take care of one thing, just like you brought up the 401k, that's what a great thing you did for her, because now if she takes your advice, it's a simple thing to do. Take a small portion of your income and put it away every month or every week or however it works. That's how you do it. And that's the same thing with life insurance. You know, you buy what you think you need today, kind of thinking about the future. Long-term care may be too soon if you're in your 40s, but by the time you get in your 50s, start off with something, because something is always better than nothing. You know, you know better than I do, but I'm seeing it with my own mother. She is always worried about money. She's 91 years old and she's still worried about running out of money. But my father did a great plan for her. Luckily, he was in the insurance financial world. So he set up, you know, life insurance. He had long-term care for himself. So when he did turn on his policy, it didn't wipe out their investments, you know, their retirement. And then when he died, he left a boatload of life insurance benefit to her, which is her income. So between Social Security, retirement, and everything he left her, she's fine. But it's still interesting to me that she's still worried about, you know, spending that extra $20 a week on something. And I go, Mom, you can afford it. I promise you.
Absolutely. And that's certainly a better position to be in than being worried about money and truly having something to worry about. And so certainly we're in New England, right? So the dollar figures that we talk about are can be drastically different than in other parts of the country.
Absolutely.
That doesn't mean that if you live in another part of the country with a low cost of living, that you absolutely need to get to some of these numbers that in, you know, a millionaire, you might be able to be just fine on $500,000 or three quarters or whatever it is. But again, going off of what Tom said, you know, something is better than nothing. And at this point in time, unless things radically change, it is looking like even if you got Medicare for All, for those that may be opposed to it or for it, I guess it doesn't matter. Even if Medicare for All were to pass, that's still not going to help you with senior care services, because assisted livings, private home care, and nursing homes are all upfront. They're out of pocket costs unless you, for nursing homes, you fall under a certain threshold. And then the state or the federal government will pay for it. But for many people, there's an upfront cost as well with nursing homes. And so it's a cash business. And that's where somebody like Tom can help out. What are some of the products that you offer that you find people are most successful with?
Well, with my quote older clients, so one's over age 50. Now, that's not old by any means, believe me when I tell you. But over 50, I would say for... still, life insurance is very doable. It's still needed because you either have an income problem or you have a tax problem. If you've got, you know, in the state of Massachusetts, anything over $1 million, you're hit with a 13% tax or thereabouts. $1 million is nothing. You know, you put in your home, your retirement, bingo, there it is. And then with the federal estate tax, right, you know, it's over 11.5 or 11.7 million at this point, but that's going to be ratcheted down soon because, you know, with the stimulus and the everything that's happened over the last year, the bill has to be paid, and they're going to go after us, all of us, for taxes. And don't forget, when you hit retirement, there's three main issues. It's vacation, because you want to be able to travel. There's taxes, because they're going to keep taxing us. And there's medical. Those are the three big ones right there. So you've got to kind of plan for that. So my younger clients are buying life insurance and disability, but there's a new product called the long-term care rider. We call it accelerated care benefit. You just stick it onto a whole life policy, anything over $125,000, and you can turn that policy into a long-term care plan down the road. You know, there's something like 40% of all of Northwestern Mutual's claims are below the age of 65 when it comes to long-term care claims. So that means people are getting sick, they're getting hurt. You know, it's not just an old age kind of product anymore. And I was very surprised at that, 40%. So, you know, and again, I could bore you with stats and numbers and all that. I just like the fact that if you're starting to plan, you're going to take a lot of problems off your plate down the road.
And so one thing when we met that I had kind of brought up to your, not that you weren't already aware of it, I'm sure you've heard of it, is that one of the things that we encounter being a private home care agency is that you sell a long-term care insurance policy to somebody. They then need to utilize that long-term care insurance policy. And things get messy really quickly from there, where people feel like the insurance agency is being difficult. At the very least, they're unintentionally being difficult. And what I mean by that is, like, it's just a random 800 number and it's a different person that picks up every time. So there's no ongoing kind of cumulative knowledge of the issue at hand. It's just a new person trying to figure it out each time. And one of the things I liked was what you do when you're dealing with those scenarios. And I thought that might be worthwhile, because even if you don't use Tom as a financial advisor, this is a question that you might want to ask your potential financial advisor, because it can get complicated when there's all that paperwork and processing going on. And then, of course, you're dealing with the stress of a loved one who's starting to decline enough that they need their long-term care insurance. And so I'll let you kind of go. What is your policy with that?
Yeah, well, when I started selling this product 30 some odd years ago, I had probably 500 insurance companies to work with. Now there's probably five left, maybe a few more left standing, but let's say there's 10. And the reason being, this is a product that's being used. All these companies that oversold trying to get market share got hammered because they didn't realize that people, were actually going to hold on to these policies and use them. Well, they are. And that's a great thing. But to go back to Northwestern Mutual, Northwestern Mutual is a mutual company owned by the policyholders. So everything my company does is for the good of my client. So what I love about Northwestern Mutual is the fact when there's a claim, it isn't this rigmarole, run around 800, you can't get through to anybody. A, you've got me, and B, you've got the company. And once things are set up, most long-term care policies start the benefit after usually 91 days. And there's a reason for it. It's to keep the cost of the premium down when you're paying for it, but also to get everything aligned so that when you just turn that thing on, the policy on, now it's like clockwork. It's automatic. There is no, pardon the expression, but being dicked around by the insurance company. That would drive me nuts if I've bought long-term care, and the last thing I want is when I turn on that policy, the Northwestern says, we'll get to you. No, that's not good enough. I want my benefit kicking in so I can pay people like you.
Yeah, and certainly people realize that a little bit after the fact, and it's like, all right, well, there's always, I believe long-term care insurance is not retroactive, though. So if you, is it retroactive?
When you say, I don't know what you mean.
So sometimes we've had clients that didn't realize their loved one had long-term care insurance, and they've been using our services for over 90 days. And then all of a sudden they say, well, hey, can we retroactively get reimbursed for the 91st day to today? Is that something that's normal, or is that not something that usually occurs?
I'd say like this, case by case, because what I would do in that situation, if my client hadn't called me and let me know there's an issue or there's a claim need, I would be right on the phone with the underwriters or the claims department saying, here's the deal. Here's what's happened. What can you do for this person? And I know they'll bend over backwards for my clients. So that's all I can tell you. I can't say specifically, yes, absolutely. They'll go right back from day one. That may not happen, but depending on the situation, it could. But that's why I always go to bat for my clients. I love the claims process because that's when we shine. I want to be that white knight coming in saying, okay, here's the money.
Yeah, and that's a very good point, right? Like we've said, and we've said that to clients that have signed on with us. It's like, the onboarding or the signing on the dotted line is easy. What you're going to find out about the company you choose when things get rough, when the turbulence hits like COVID, or like right now, there's a lot of caregivers going back to Africa with the Great Migration to visit home. And those are difficult times for people to staff. And then you find out what that company's made of. So, and I would say that claims process is likely that difficult time for people because there's a lot of insecurity. There's a lot of people are worried that, hey, this thing is this thing really going to pay $300 a day or whatever the thing is? And there can be a little bit of kind of nervousness and stress that's about it and trying to handle that. And that's where when we work with families, sometimes we'll even take the assignment of benefits just to try to make it easier on them if that's something they want to do, because we're used to working with insurance agencies and insurance and long-term care insurance. We even went so far to hire buy a software that I can fax out and it does e-faxes, so it has the timestamp. So we can say, hey, this is when we sent it over to you. This is what we did. Here's the proof. And then if it got slipped through the cracks, that's okay. It's not the end of the world, but at least we're showing that we're doing the right thing. So it can be complicated, and it can certainly stress people out. So having a claims process that's simple and easy is definitely one of those things that it's going to take some time to get to, but when it does, then people are going to say, hey, this was great, and maybe we need to use this for ourselves now that mom's getting this benefit or dad's getting this benefit.
I agree. And the newer contracts, anything over 15 years old, it's all reimbursement method, which simply means, let's say you have a $6,000 a month benefit or $200 a day, and you only charge $4,000 for whatever reason. Well, that extra $2,000 that wasn't used gets put forward, but only gets paid as the $4,000 that's owed to you. The old policies were called indemnity, and that if it was $6,000 a month, that's what they would pay no matter what. But it's a new world, and I think it's actually getting easier to purchase long-term care because A, there's fewer companies selling it, and they're streamlining it. And they've also got it under control. You know how some companies have raised their premiums, and Northwestern Mutual actually raised theirs a few years ago. And the reason was we didn't have a real track record. Remember, this has only been going on for about 40 years. Life insurance is probably 200 years old, and disability is long, you know, maybe 80 years old. But now there's a track record. We know, and we know that women outlive men, so they're being charged more. It's just the way it is. And you know, I just think it's a very valuable product. And again, it's not for everybody, and I'll never paint that picture, but when it works out great for the client because I guarantee, as a baby boomer, I'm cheap and I've been paying into this thing and I'm going to use mine. I guarantee it.
Good.
Unless I buy a truck.
Yeah, and that's right. That's the one downside. But there are policies now that are kind of a hybrid that allow that, because that was something that we experienced with my mom passing away. She died like just a few years after Social Security. And of all the things of her sense of humor, she was like, the cancer couldn't get me before I got 10 years of Social Security. Like, I'm getting screwed here.
Right.
But, you know, that's something that's changed with long-term care insurance, where you have a hybrid model that will at least pay some of that back if a certain threshold isn't a certain amount isn't spent or something like that, right?
Yeah. Well, you can also do, as we were talking about earlier, the hybrid with life insurance. So you can turn the policy into long-term care, but if you die prematurely, I say anywhere between now and 100, that's premature in my book, there's a death benefit paid. So you can't outlive the policy. But even with people like myself that have bought the what I call standalone long-term care, let's say I never used it. I'm just glad, like with my disability insurance, I've had disability insurance for 40 years. I've never had a claim. Did I waste my money? You know, I can ask myself that. No, because if I have that one claim, it'll all make it worthwhile. But I hope I never use it. But with long-term care, I think there's a pretty good chance, because my family all make it into their 90s. And I don't smoke, drink, or chew. So, you know, there I am. I've exercised over my life. I've got a pretty good chance of living another 25 or 30 years once I get beyond 65. And there's a lot of baby boomers out there. There's 10,000 of us retiring every day. So there's a lot of opportunity out there.
Well, I mean, that's actually a kind of a, maybe I'm finding a good segue into that. But if you don't drink, chew, or smoke, then there are certain people out there saying, then what the hell do you do for fun, Tom? And what do you do for fun? Because the things you like to do are actually kind of interesting.
Yeah, well, I'm a rock drummer, you know, with the new Get Back, you know, the Beatles. Oh, my God. It's just it's funny watching them, how they record with my band that I have with my brother. That's exactly the way we do it. We pull things apart as we're recording. But I think I'll always be a rock and roller. Writing books, as you know, I've written 5 books. Being an author is pretty cool. But also, I've got 6 kids in a blended family. I've coached them in everything, hockey, soccer, tennis, basketball, you name it. So, you know, you try to have a full life, and, you know, we're not a one-trick pony, that's for sure.
Absolutely not. And you don't, and you know, people think about an author of 5 books. Well, where's your scarf and your pipe and the great library that you read your amazing novels in, of first edition leather bound books, right?
Well, you know what's funny? These books are real. I guess I'd just say from my perspective, my reality of there was alcoholism in my family at one time. There's been, I've ridden across the country by bicycle. I did the Boston Marathon, which nearly killed me. I wrote about my father and all his stories. It's just, you know, you live long enough. I got the writer's bug when I turned 50. It wasn't like I was just this fantastic author all these years. It's just, as the kids grew up and went to college, I had more time. That's all.
Yeah, well, I mean, you have to fill that time, and that's a great thing to do. So, I mean, and it's very productive, and it will outlive you, and those books will outlive, yeah. Unless you live to 150, then who knows what's going to happen next. You don't want to.
I'll be drooling. Well, I have a hard time talking and chewing gum anyway.
So kind of going back to this, though, with senior care, if somebody's new to this, where do you suggest they start? How do they get the first couple steps and a little bit of momentum going to start this process that can sometimes feel daunting?
I would say very simply, sit down with a person like myself who's good at asking questions. With my 40 years of experience, my hindsight is my client's foresight. It's so simple just to ask some poignant questions and get the person talking. I want the person to let me know what they want. This isn't about the Tom Greeley show and what I think they should have. If they ask me, Tom, what have you done? I can tell them what I've done. And I'd be glad to, you know, that author, open book minded, but it's about them. And I think if you find a financial advisor that focuses on the person rather than what they can sell, you got it made, because things will happen organically. You know, it'll happen one bite at a time, one step at a time. That's how you do it. You don't have to have everything done all at once. You know, you've been purchasing a home or looking to purchase a home. It takes a while. You know, it doesn't happen all at once. But the more knowledge you have, that also is incredibly helpful. Let's say you don't hit it off with a financial advisor, but you learned something. That's okay, too. I'm not charging a fee for my services. You know, I get paid by commission, or if someone does invest, you know, then there's a different way of doing this. But I love taking the time with the client to ask questions. I think that's what it's all about.
Awesome. And then so where do you service outside of Massachusetts, and how do people get in touch with you?
Yeah, you can go right onto my website. I can give my cell phone number out if you'd like, however you want to do it. But I'm all across the country. My clients move. I'm licensed in every state. So virtually speaking, the pandemic is the best thing that ever happened to my business, because I don't have to drive a million miles anymore, which I've done, by the way. But now with so many clients, I want to give them the attention that they deserve and need. And so just like you asked me to meet at 11:30, you know, I can do it, rather than if I was driving into Boston, I'd be going, oh my goodness, how am I going to get back from 11:30 with Ryan, you know? But so that's
how the world has changed. So what I will do is I will link your Amazon page as well as your Northwestern Mutual page in the comments down below. So if people want to reach out to you, they can click on that, and then they can find your number that way and go from there.
That'd be great. And if they want to hear a great band, whatchadoo.com.
I'm going to link that one now too.
WACHADOO.com. And that's the link that goes right to our band.
Oh, awesome. Well, I'm going to look that up and listen to some music as well. But Tom, thank you so much for coming on, spending about 30, 35 minutes with us. You know, the goal of this podcast is not any type of revenue, but it's here to inform people, because as you know, so many times people, you know, sit there and say, I wish I had done this X amount of years ago. And so, hey, listen, we're trying to provide education to people and the information they need so they can make the plan that they want and live the golden years that they're hoping for, or help out their mom or dad do that. So thank you.
Hey, thank you. Honored to speak with you and your crew, and appreciate it.
Awesome.
Have a great week.
And thank you all to all the listeners of the Caregivers Toolbox. We will catch you on the next one.